Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Gamecast episode 692. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gast, joined by Mike Sneedy.
What's up?
Corey Feinstein.
Ahoy.
And Tony Korkanakis.
Yo, yo.
Welcome, guys. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, viewers. We are live Twitch Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. We did the movie cast just now, going on to the Gamecast. If you miss these live broadcasts, we're always on YouTube. So subscribe. That way you know when we go live and when we post. We finished
comment,
up the last episode.
Like,
yep. Yeah, comment, like, give us a great stuff. We'd love to hear from you guys. So if you join us on these broadcasts live, we usually chat with you guys, leave comments on the, and we'll try to answer your questions. Try to answer. We can't always do it if we're on like a big topic, but we try to answer as many questions as possible. We finished last episode, the movie cast, with Tony's, you know, kind of teasing us a game here of a Marvel game he had an itch to play. So lead us off. What have you been up to, Tony?
So just for the backstory, which we'll get into the news shortly, but there was a new Marvel game revealed, and just talking about in the Discord channel, which, yeah, again, if you want to just hit us up and we can give you the link for that.
Yep.
Talking about some of the characters that were, like, there's some deep picks in this new Marvel game. So I was just like, oh, and I didn't know a couple of them until, you know, I was talking to answering Mike about some of them. And it got me looking to this mobile game. I think it was about 5 years old. Called Marvel Future Fight, and I was like looking at it, and I was like, they've got a deep roster actually, right? And then I was like seeing some gameplay footage. I'm like, oh, it's like a beat 'em up, right? Almost like the X-Men Legends or Marvel Ultimate Alliance and stuff like that. So I was like, well, for the cost of free, right? I know what I'm getting into. It's a gacha game, you know, monetization out the ass, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But I was like, well, whatever. If I just like can play it and not worry about it, like my progress or being competitive, like it could be fun. So you know what, it's not bad. I gotta say, it's
okay. It's, let me see, Marvel Future Fight.
Yeah, like it's typical bullshit where it's like you form a team, right, of three people, three characters, and there's story, there's like training room exercises, and like I think shield missions or sword missions, whatever they call them. But again, the roster is huge. Unfortunately, you got to play through a lot of story mode, either earn credits to like get characters unlocked as what. So like that's it. Like that's the worst part of it, because you can't just get the character you want to play, right? And the thing is, because the easiest way to tie this in was with Avengers, like you start off with Iron Man, Captain America, and Black Widow, right? And stuff like that. But they have promotions where you can like get free characters and stuff like that. But they have some like deep cuts. So like they have like, what was her name? They have the daughter of Steve Rogers and Sharon Carter in like a alternate timeline where she's Captain America and she fights with a shield and like a lance and stuff like that. Mm. So that was cool. One of the characters from the upcoming Marvel game we'll be talking about, Luna Snow. She's a Korean superhero that has like Iceman type powers, but I guess it's like dark and light ice. I don't know what the difference is and stuff like that, but she's pretty cool.
Black ice.
Literally, white, yeah, ice. Black ice, yeah. And stuff like that. So I've been playing that.
Keep your cars away from her.
Yeah. The nice thing, and maybe this is just the old gamer in me, and I talked about this with Corey before. I know for sure with a Dragalia Lost or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or like there's just this button you can click where it just goes autoplay, right? And the game automatically plays itself for you, right? And I used to be, like, so against this feature, but I think I've reached that hill where I'm just like, you know what? I know this is, like, a lot of this is not going to be challenging, yeah. right? It's just kind of, like,
meaningful,
grindy and stuff like
that. Really?
Right? Meaningful. So I'm just like, you know what? Rather than me spend my active time, I just, like, load up the level, I click that button, and I just start doing something else, and I just peek down, and it's like, oh, you beat the mission. I'm like, okay, collect rewards. Mm-hmm. Collect rewards. So there's that.
I auto fight every now and again, like
yeah.
like
you're
a dragon.
Evolving too, there, Tony.
Yep. So. like a dragon. I put on
that's
a couple
sad.
Of outfits.
Because I was traveling, I was like, oh, I want to play some time waster games. I clicked on Dragalia Lost, and it's over. I forgot.
Yeah,
I was like,
over.
Yep. I got all my characters and all this work I put into this game.
Yep.
It's gone.
Sad, man. Sad.
Nothing's yours.
Nope.
It's gone. So anything else, Tony?
Anything else? I've been playing Princess Peach's Showtime. Yeah, it's fine. It's definitely not challenging. I mean, it's for an adult. It's not going to be challenging to like just beat the level. The challenge is like, oh, there's some things you got to do to like find secrets and expose those kinds of things and unlock that. But it's creative. You know, it's kind of like a Peach game, but like with almost like a Kirby gameplay system where it's like she get every level is like a different theme.
Yeah.
Where she turns into like, oh, it's like Detective Peach or Cat Burglar Peach or Sword Fighter, like Fencer Peach, mm-hmm. something like that. So it's fun, you know, it's just a nice thing. It's definitely younger oriented. So Jim, I think again,
yeah, she's
you know, there's a free probably. Demo probably up there still.
your daughter's
alley for sure. Cool. But no, that's it. I'm gonna finish that because it's not a very long game, and then gonna dive into some Unicorn Overlord.
Nice. Yeah, that's on my list. I can't wait to hear about that actually, because it's on my list, and I was like, how soon am I starting that?
Also a demo for that.
I wish it was on Steam.
Yeah. So, Mike, anything?
Well, last week I was telling you how I was playing X-Men Legends. I finished the first game. What that game doesn't have is a new game plus, and which is funny because you unlock like new costumes when you beat it. So I don't know. I guess you would just have to start over again and to equip them, but I didn't. I moved on to X-Men Legends 2 now.
Nice.
That's the good one.
This is probably, I think, my favorite one in the series. Even though, now that I'm starting it again, it starts kind of weirdly, like, story-wise. They just sort of throw you into stuff in the middle. It's not as, like, coherent, I feel like, as the first game. But this does have New Game Plus, so I did load up an old save. I don't think this is my oldest save. I think this is the one from when I played through all these games like 6 years ago or something. So I have everything unlocked. I have Iron Man unlocked, who's a secret unlock in this game if you find all the armor pierces in like different places. So yeah, your roster is real cool in this. You have, you know, the X-Men with the Brotherhood as well. You have like Magneto you can play as from the beginning. And this is the one with all the optional like extra powers that you can choose for your four active powers. There's a lot more going on RPG-wise in this one than the first game and any of the games since. Marvel Ultimate Alliance actually like really dumbed it down a bit from this. The gear is also more complicated. There's like character-specific gear sets you can get and find.
There was a little bit specific gear in Ultimate Alliance, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think there's one for each character.
Yeah.
In Ultimate Alliance. There's not like you have like sets of three or there's like a bunch of different things actually, this game. So I will say though, loading up a new game plus, the inventory management is a little overwhelming to start with like a full inventory of like stuff that half your characters can't equip yet because they're not high enough level. It's the one sort of hiccup with the new game plus in it, but otherwise, no. It's just, to me, it's like the pinnacle of these, like, Raven Software, like, Marvel X-Men games. So, it's been fun to get into. And also, I've been playing a lot of MLB The Show. I'm obviously in a good baseball mood, if you know which team I follow right now. So,
I am not.
The Show.
Yeah. It is the exact opposite.
We are the exact opposite.
Show was fun. It's the same as it normally is, but they did add Paul O'Neill and Bernie Williams this year
for Legends. They broke the game last week, didn't they?
I heard something like that, but I missed that time when it was.
Oh, you missed it. So. Okay, they broke the game. I know that, but go on. Yeah. So all right, cool. No,
it's fine.
All right, Corey, anything for you?
Yeah. Well, I had, like I said, I was away traveling, so I brought my Steam Deck and totally mentioned like the auto playing features in some games and stuff. And one of the things I find interesting is that you know, bullet hell games are kind of like that, but like you're just kind of just moving around, but you're kind of auto shooting stuff. But the inverse of that, the bullet heaven games, right? There's one called Soulstone Survivors, which I played a bunch of because I had like time on the plane or whatever, or just waiting. And that's a lot of fun. It's just like you're have all these different characters, like a barbarian or a wizard or a necromancer. And all you're doing is just avoiding the like onslaught of enemies, but your character just constantly shooting out spells or attacks and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of fun just trying to get the correct upgrades in certain builds that you're trying to do. And I don't know, just wasted a lot of time doing that, but I would highly recommend if you're looking for a good time waster for something like Steam Deck, it's pretty fun to do on the go because it's a smaller game, but has a lot of interesting things going on there. And that's like Soulstone Survivors. Then I also did get to play some more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is still amazing. Yeah. I am just getting off of, which essentially is Hawaii, I guess. Costa yeah. del Sol, I think. Yep. So I just left that area, and yeah, it's about, I'm assuming that's about halfway through.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So yeah, getting through that. But there's one other thing I did get into, which is probably not good for my wallet, because it's a collectible chart, a card trading team, and that is Star Wars Unlimited.
Oh no! Oh no! Corey, yeah,
I don't have one that I've been playing. I started Marvel Champions, which is not really a collectible card game, but I have like sets, and I was like, nah. And like, I got into Keyforge for a while because you didn't have to build decks, but this has got, I don't know, it pulled me in for some reason because like
physical card game.
Yeah, because
like booster pack, right?
Like booster packs, like booster boxes. What are you talking about? Packs? Well, I got the boxes. Boxes?
I meant they come in booster packs, but you're buying the boxes. Yes, yes.
Wait.
Of course, no. So like, it's my buddy. You know, because I do board gaming a lot and tabletop gaming, and so my buddies were getting in, and we were at a game store. And he bought like three boxes. I'm like, what is this all about? I was like, oh, let me check this out.
I'll buy a box.
No, and then I started helping him unpack it. I'm like, oh no.
That's the mistake. That's the mistake, Corey. You can't do that.
No, but so, but I feel like, you know what? I'm getting in on the ground floor. It just came out this like past month in March. And so this is the first set. Next set comes out in July. So I got a few months before I have to worry about that. But
are you saying I should check this out?
No. I mean, if you want to keep the money in your wallet, you got to check it out.
It just sounds like this is Jim all over it. But
I mean, it's Star Wars, and the game is good. Like it's you know, it's another.
Who's the publisher?
Fantasy Flight.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's
okay. So it's a big Star publisher. Wars. It's not like
But yeah, it's interesting. It's you know, same concept as all these other ones. You know, but the physical game, the physical card is nice. You know. Getting back into that and stuff, and opening up packs is just so addicting. It's not good.
Since you mentioned that,
Aria got a bunch of Pokemon boxes given to her over like mm-hmm. holiday. I never told that story from the holiday break at Christmas. Her uncle is a huge Pokemon fan, so when he found out that Aria was like into the cards, she doesn't play the game, but she loves to collect the cards. He bought her two boxes, and
it's fun opening them.
Yeah, because she had so many. Yeah, I know we did. I did. I went and got. I don't.
I mean, just take the ones that like. The problem is, you got to know what the ones that are actually worth something.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to take them out and like sleep immediately. Well, that's
what I've been doing. She's pretty good with it. She puts them right into the. She's like any of the holographic ones. It goes.
You only get one every pack, right?
So yeah, but then you have to worry about the. There's like the ultra ones or something like that they get the hyper ones. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones they
push. Get different rarities and things like that. So like, what's
it was nice opening that. But go on.
Star Wars Unlimited does is it gives you a leader, which you need, and a base, which you need. And then it gives you 9 commons, 3 unique, 3 uncommons, and then a rare and a foil, essentially, card. And sometimes the 3 uncommon ones, one of them could be a rare or a legendary or more that. And then there are showcase cards of the leaders. And those showcase cards, dude, the Boba Fett card right now, the showcase Boba Fett card, it goes for $700 right now.
Corey, you know what's crazy about the situation? Like, considering your love of looter shooters and all the legendary weapons, I cannot believe it's taking you this long to fall into the card game trap.
It's a money thing, man. It's a money thing.
But
this is the one. But like, because like, what happened was my buddy pulled a showcase Palpatine Emperor leader card, and that goes for $400 on its own.
Ooh,
nice. And I was like, oh my god, damn it.
I'm gonna have to check it out a little bit. I'm not saying
like each
go crazy
booster,
here,
but... like on average, each booster box gets you about 4 legendaries. And then it's so bad because like you have a hyperspace versions, which are borderless versions of the cards, then you have the foil versions, and then you have the foil hyperspace versions.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope. I mean, he knows this.
I know this how you get it. Yeah, how much is a pack or versus?
I'm looking it up.
$4 a pack, I assume, something like that.
Right now they're expensive.
How much are they supposed to be retailing for? $4-ish or something?
I think they're like five or $6.
Oh, wow, even more expensive than Magic. That's crazy.
You're saying if I see them on the shelves, grab some.
It's hard to find.
$120 for a box right now on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean you can find them like, well, you can't find them now, but like $100 is usually where it was. But I think retail is 120 $20 for 24 packs.
Yeah, it's 24. Yep.
Jeez, okay.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
And there's 16 cards per pack.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of segueing. I wasn't going to mention, but you brought this up. But so as we all know, the Amazon Fallout show is coming out shortly.
Yeah, yeah. You got the Commander decks and stuff? Or?
I got the Commander deck, but nice. Last week it was the end of the month, right? And I'm part of the power-up reward at GameStop where it's like $5 certificate. And I used to just use that on like eShop or PlayStation Credit and just build it up that way over the year. They stopped that, right? So you could use it on like junk physical merchandise. So I just stopped in. I had some, you know, I was doing some errands. I was like, I'll stop in. I was like, worst case scenario, I'll just get a booster pack of Magic cards for free or something like that. But they actually had a collector booster of Fallout. And I don't know if you guys can see the box.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But I thought the packaging was really cool on this.
That is awesome.
Like, the art was cool. And then turning around, like they have like, this is going to be harder, the Pip-Boy.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. I got it.
Thing.
Cool.
And then it actually opens up.
Cool. Is it Velcro?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't see that.
Just glue. Oh, hold on. I'll try it.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna keep this as just like a display item, like just like open. It's like a nice talkie piece.
You open the packs?
I opened it was only one pack inside of it.
Oh wow.
I thought there'd be like six in there or something.
No, because like they like to
collect their boosters.
These ones are collectors, so they like to juice it up. Like I think this is like 20 after my discount, it was like $20 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But you get like 8 rares or something in it and stuff like that. So I didn't get any big cards, but I'm like, hey, you know, we'll wait a month, see how it goes after people are going to be like, I want to buy Magic cards.
No, I just checked like on my Lord of the Rings collector's booster box, which is like six packs or something like that. And they're going for a little bit more than I spent on it. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Cool. Just keep that sealed. Like, no matter what, it will continue to go up. It will continue to go up.
I know the one ring's up there, but
the one ring's there's out others. There, they even printed a second wave of that for the holidays. They reprinted another edition, the holiday edition, and it still like is going up. So in another year or two or three, that will make a lot of money on your investment. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yep.
Trading cards, kids. Don't get it.
I had every intention of playing Cyberpunk this week, but I got stuck at, I can't really explain on the air here, multiple doctor's appointments where I was at an office for 2 hours at a time. I did end up. The cool thing, not for me, I was, the cool thing was, is I brought my Steam Deck and I, and weirdly enough, loaded up the Xbox cloud gaming service on
Cyberpunk is on Steam Deck and it plays very well.
Yeah, I know, but I have the game on the Xbox. I don't want to have to rebuy.
Gotcha.
So Persona 3, though, is on Game Pass. And so I have played some Persona 3.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I mean, it's a new story for me. So it is Persona 5. Obviously, they brought the game up. And I do remember this game a little bit.
All your life, man. I hope that's
They did. Because I remember this game on the Vita a little bit. I played a little bit of this game. And it was good, but it was very antiquated. Mm-hmm. This game has brought it up to...
That was like a mobile version, too.
This is Persona 5. This is Persona 5 gameplay with the story of Persona 3. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit right now. It's awesome. It's definitely a lot more... Dark.
it's super like that, dude. That's the thing. Like, it's funny because in the community of Persona fans, like every franchise, like everybody, like usually likes all of them to some degree. But like, it's really funny because like you're like, oh, Persona 4. It's like, oh, you're just like a podunk transfer kid living out in the boonies.
Happy go lucky.
Happy go lucky. 5. You're like some cool suave dude that like everybody fucking praises and stuff. And Persona 3 is like, we all have depression.
They're all suicidal. And
they are shooting themselves in the head, physical representation of like their feelings here.
Persona 5, or Persona 4 or 5. One of them was like, I remember like the gym teacher with like, he was like, it was dark. Like, wasn't he like assaulting kids and stuff like that? I remember, was that 5?
Well, that was in 5.
So like, I remember that one. And like, so it had some dark stories, but this is like another level. But it's impressive, and it runs, I'll tell you what, runs fantastic. Like, I mean, it's cloud gaming, the power of the cloud, if you will. But they do, I don't know, I'm just, that's obviously kidding. But this is what they could have built a while ago. This one's great. This runs like, you don't even know you're streaming it. You have no idea. And you're talking about streaming it on like I have like the Comcast network there, like the public Wi-Fi. I'm streaming it through that, and it's fine. You don't even know. Nope, no issues. It runs that well, so I give it credit. And the Steam Deck, it's a trooper. It's a champ. It handles all this stuff, no problem.
Oh, well, so actually, now that Corey's back on,
Yeah, to revamp
the discussion.
Yeah.
So, Corey, what do you think about the rumors that Phil Spencer might be doing an Xbox handheld?
Xbox handheld?
That's the rumor, yeah.
Why?
That's what I said, right? Why?
Well, I said, "What? How cool like, would it be?
Would it be like a separate thing that
it would play all of your Xbox games natively on it? You don't need to stream it.
Not like the PlayStation Portal, where it's just a streaming device.
It would play them dedicated, like on it. Yeah, not streaming.
That sounds dumb. No, I mean, like, you have a Steam Deck out there.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Why doesn't Microsoft not want part of that? I get the point of them wanting to get into that.
I mean, it's already too late. Like,
yeah, you're right.
There's so many. There actually are so many of these devices that do this.
Oh, yeah, the Asus stuff. That Asus was like $299 too. That Asus
that thing, last week. And it's more powerful than Steam Deck. It's not like it's the Steam Deck is basically Nintendo Switch for what it is, right?
Yeah.
But like, you don't like, what are you playing on Xbox that you can't play on Steam?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. So it's a matter of like your live Xbox Live subscription can go with you essentially and play the games. Like, I could have played Cyberpunk. You know, because I have the game. It could have played it. But you know, that's the idea of it. But we talked about it last week, and then at the time I hadn't even gone into how complicated or not complicated it was to put Xbox Live Cloud Gaming on my Steam Deck, and it's not complicated at all.
It's just weird because I remember you saying it was hard.
Yeah, no, I didn't know until you look at the instructions. You're like, wait, I just have to put Microsoft Edge browser on my Steam Deck. That's all you had to do.
It's really weird that you don't mind tinkering with that. And
yeah.
It's really weird.
And I give Microsoft some credit where credit is due. That Edge browser is fantastic. I can't say that enough about them. They really have
Chromium.
Yeah, it's better than Chrome. They built a better browser than Chrome.
No, I mean, that seems like a waste of resources.
Yeah, no.
Xbox.
I will say that I would argue a lot less this week.
If the next thing is a handheld and that's what they want to do, fine. But I don't think you're...
No, that's what they were talking about for the iteration instead of the Pro model, a handheld. So...
But we just got leaks of, I even posted in the Discord.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get into it right now. That's what I'm going to talk about. We have leaks of a Xbox Series X Digital, all white, coming in June or July of this year. It looks like that's not confirmed yet, but that's happening. It's going to just be the system, though, just without a drive and white, right? I mean, no pricing yet.
It's 2 terabytes.
Oh, good.
I mean, if it's all digital, you'd hope it have more space.
You'd hope, but I wasn't expecting it. So I'm glad to hear that, actually. But
I mean, I had to delete a bunch of things to get Final Fantasy Rebirth on my.
So did I. I actually ran a space on PS5. I was like, "What the fuck?" I was like, "I've only owned like 4 games on the system. Yeah. What the fuck?"
I mean, I bought it digitally, so it's like there was no disc either, so I had to put stuff. And it's like, oh wow, this is a big game. So they're only getting bigger, folks.
Yeah, I mean, the digital version, you guys expecting the same price then with a 2 terabyte, $499?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking this was going to be $399, but not with that storage.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
Unless they want to go along with... Yeah, Series X.
Series X, yeah.
Unless it comes along with an official price drop, which I can't imagine they would be doing at this point in time.
I don't think so.
I mean, the thing is, like, you can already get Xbox is so dirt cheap. I mean, this past holiday season,
last week,
I thought about getting a last week.
Yeah, it was like $299. No, yeah, $300 for an X Series X.
I'm just like looking at it, I'm like, it's just so cheap. But I'm like, but I wouldn't do anything with it. So I'm like,
later in that week, they were selling
boosters, Tony.
They were selling factory refurb. They were like certified. They were like coming from Microsoft for $239. They were $239 for Series X's.
Yeah.
But you have the Series S or X, Mike?
I have the X now.
Oh, you have the X now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's I don't know. It seems like... I don't know what Xbox is doing.
We don't know. Nobody knows. And I can't, like I said, last week I argued, Tony and I were going back and forth a little bit. I would argue far less this week on that handheld.
I mean, look, like... The thing is, I will say, like, just to be less inflammatory, if Xbox consoles were doing well,
sure,
I would not care as much. I don't really care, but, like, I'd be less, like, apprehensive about it. But, like, the fact is, like, dude, you're not even doing well with
make
the consoles.
Make a game.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, like, you're not even releasing games on your fucking console regularly, right? Like, despite spending $90 billion in...
And it's not like years. Microsoft is a hardware company. It's not like that. That's what they do. It's software. That's what they do. Well, so it's like, I get it. If you If you were a hardware company or company and like you put out all this amazing hardware and you wanted to focus on good hardware, sure.
Yeah, but absolutely. Not
even your forte. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. I get it.
It just feels like a giant distraction to like, dude, focus on the one thing first, right? The consoles. Sure. And then maybe then you can think about handheld, right? Because it's like you're not even competing with Sony efficiently anymore in the console space. And you think you're going to get into the handheld arena and go up against Switch, Switch 2, and Steam Deck. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
And the thing is, too, Phil was complaining because this came out of the GDC stuff. He's complaining about no cross saves on something. I forget what he's talking about. He's like, oh, I was really disappointed I couldn't do cross save with whatever. And it's just like, dude, this is your fucking game. This is your ecosystem. This is the Xbox ecosystem. That's on you, dude. That's on you. If you're disappointed that you can't do that, maybe tell your people to do that. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy too, because like IGN put out this fucking shitty piece that like gargled Phil Spencer's fucking balls because he's been there for 10 years. And I'm just like, man, like, what like you know, exactly. That's what like this dude, read this piece, because this is like, did Phil pay you to write this? Because it's basically him jerking off Phil for a fucking gigantic article.
Probably not Phil. It's probably Microsoft fluffing up their guy. They probably paid somebody to write the article, sure. Fluff piece. But speaking of, let's continue this in the Microsoft universe and talk about the indie game developers and the drying up of Xbox Game Pass, and also I'll even go in the Epic Store. Let's give them Epic as well. Indie games have had a great home on these services for years, and it gets their games out there so people can see them and play them, and it gets them profits faster, and it makes them be able to make a game easier because they get paid for that, and then helps them produce it. That apparently is thanks to the acquisitions that are going on, going away. Like there's just not an incentive from them to bring their game to Game Pass. You know, to Epic Game Store. We're getting instead, like, you know, Microsoft is trying to focus, I guess, internally on itself now, thanks to its investment.
Well, but yeah, absolutely. You just spent $80 billion on Activision Blizzard King. Why are you going to throw money bags around at other companies when you could
it just Diablo seems like,
or whatever?
I feel like when we talked about Game Pass originally, we talked about that was one of the positives. Is like, look at what these games were coming on there. Like, you would never play these games before. Like, I remember talking about that years ago. When Game Pass
sure, because Microsoft was flush with cash, right?
Yeah.
And this is the early days of Game Pass where these models, all these subscription models, whether you're Netflix, whether you're Disney Plus, you're fucking HBO, whatever the fuck they want to call themselves this year, doesn't matter. the first couple of years, you're going to lose money because you're building a product, and that product is a service, right?
Yeah.
So Microsoft, amidst their acquisitions, didn't have any games to just fucking pump out on Game Pass, right? So yeah. That was the ideal. That was the goal. That was the pie in the sky. Like, hey, everything's working. We're great. And it didn't. So they're like, okay, well, instead of our own games, we're just going to throw money at these indie developers and pay for it. Like, oh, it's Game Pass and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong. That's cool. Like, I mean, Shredder's Revenge last year, day one on Game Pass. Awesome. Stuff like that. This year, like what? The best is like Persona 3, right? I think so far, you know, 3 months into the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We didn't get that Baldur's Gate 3, right?
Nope. The show.
Okay. Yeah. Just make
sure. No, we're not.
We've had the show. Yep. Right. It was big, but yeah.
But I mean, that's a deal with, you know, MLB and stuff like that. So, but the thing is, like, so, you know, back in the day, all these indie developers were like, oh yeah, we'll take the cash. We'll put a game on Game Pass and stuff like that, right? And then we fast forward 2 years later, right? Whatever time measurement you want to use, and Microsoft is going, hey guys, we just spent $90 billion acquiring Activision Blizzard King. We're going to go ahead and focus on putting their back catalog on Game Pass to make the most out of our investment. So we just don't have the money to throw around to third-party games anymore, right? So now all these third parties are going, well, we rely on money like that to be able to fund games, right? Because if you're an indie developer, you need that cash, right?
You need cash flow in advance. Yeah.
Right, you need that cash flow in advance to start developing games and stuff like that.
That's why early access happens. That's why early release happens.
Exactly. Yeah. So now that's drying up, and you know, this is why I argued back in that, because like Phil was adamant, being like, Game Pass is profitable. It works out for the developers, it works out for Xbox. And I was like, does it? Like,
clearly not.
I don't see how the math works out on that, because now you train these customers that, hey, this game, whatever it is, whether it's Shredder's Revenge, whether it's a, what is it, a tiny build. They had a fucking bunch of games on there. It's like, instead of buying this, instead of being worthy of a purchase of its own, I just get it with my Game Pass. And now it's like, oh, you're not, your sequel game or whatever is down on Game Pass? Okay, well, that's all right. I'll just play a different Game Pass game or whatever, right? And it's just like, well, you're not building a sustainable ecosystem. All you're doing is training your Game Pass customers to play whatever Game Pass games are on there, right?
Yeah.
And now it's essentially Microsoft picking the winners, right? Where it's like, cool, like, you know, whatever game of the month, you know, I don't even know. I looked at the Game Pass games coming this month and they look like pretty fucking dog shit to me. But it's just like, okay, cool. So you just ruined customers' perceptions of what valuing software is, right? And we're in this terrible position in both the economy, but the industry where nobody is giving money to make games. So,
yeah. No,
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. Game Pass just doesn't make sense.
Love it.
Wow. They're all in on it. So, all right, let's move on to Marvel. Last week, we teased a Marvel Rivals announcement, and we got it. So we talked about it on air last week, and we spoiled it a little bit, but had a little, I guess, a preview of what the game was going to be. It is clearly an Overwatch clone. With Marvel characters coming out, closed alpha test is in April. And coming from NetEase, right? This was NetEase that did this one. And 6v6 battles, team up skills. That was the unique thing I saw in the trailer was the team up abilities where you could team like the Hulk and Iron Man and do like a you know, explosive ability. You know, so it seems like a cool idea with the Marvel team ups, but timing wise, as we spoke about, I think last week we were talking about Overwatch 2 being just dead, or was it the week before? Weird timing, but obviously you can't control timing. The game's been in development for 5+ years, so it's like it is what it is. But I don't know. Looks okay.
I think the timing is good, but the game needs to be good too. I think it's good because Overwatch is dead.
This is gonna be free to play, right?
This will be free to play. So that's the big thing there. Because if this is gonna be a full priced game like Suicide Squad or something like that, I would not feel very good about its chances, right? So being free to play, it launching in Asia because it's NetEase and stuff like that, it will give it a good chance of being at least moderately successful in that region.
It's going to be competitive. Yeah,
definitely. Right, it's going to be competitive. Yeah. I think it's third person. I don't think it's first person.
No, I thought it was third person.
The trailer looks like third person.
Yeah, it looks like third person. I mean, that's one thing that's a differentiator there.
My coworker is a big Overwatch fan, and he's like very excited for this. So
I'm sure it definitely looks like a Marvel Overwatch. It's what it is. Which is what we expected last week. It's just
apparently Overwatch is doing something with Valorant right now.
I think it was
Oh, was it April Fool's?
Yesterday was April Fool's. I could be wrong, but
that's what yesterday I was like, hey, just make sure you believe everything you see on the internet today.
Exactly.
You guys seen it? What was the best one? Was it the Switch? Was the best April Fool's joke?
That was my favorite one.
That was a good one. The Switch Boy. Virtual Boy.
The Virtual Switch.
Virtual Boy. Switch, as it was, yeah. That was good from IGN. All right.
I mean, whatever. It looks interesting enough. There's going to be a free alpha, so I signed up for that. And if I play it, great, and if not,
yeah,
just lose some downloads.
I mean, this is the opening of a new future collaboration from them. So NetEase and Marvel they've signed a deal for more TV shows, comic books, and video games.
And it's getting their fingers into everything, man. They got Epic. They got Bungie has a deal with Tencent.
Yeah, Bungie was they were the first ones to bail Bungie out after they left.
Activision deal. Yeah.
Because they got like, I think, $1 billion.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was billion. It was a lot.
It might have been like $1 billion for a couple games or whatever, but I just remember it was like a large amount of money. It's like, for what? Mm-hmm. Because they were just doing Destiny. It looks interesting enough. I like the deep cuts once again with, you know, obviously you're going to gain your primary Avengers and stuff like that.
They look good too, though.
Doctor Strange creating like a portal, like you get some Symmetra vibes there. That was cool.
Yeah.
Hulk apparently is going to be like a diva of the game. Mm-hmm. It's like you hold around for a bit, and then once you use your ult or whatever, you turn it to Banner, the scientist Banner, and you got like a gamma gun or something like that. So anyway, you just start blasting kind of thing and whatnot. So, you know, whatever. It's free to play. You could try it out, and hopefully maybe it makes perfect timing where the downfall of Overwatch leads an opportunity for people switching over.
It's like, not a... It's definitely not like a Smite, though, right? Smite's a third-person team game, but that's more MOBA style. This is
no,
more...
this looked more Overwatch with...
Yeah, because I think it was like one like a... Like basically advance the payload kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why I got this
control point.
Yep, control point.
Like I mean, the one level looked exactly like Hanamura, I think.
Yes, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah,
yeah. So, all right. Other news: we've got Gearbox. We talked about Gearbox probably being sold, and they were. So Gearbox Entertainment,
lace them up and dice them.
Yeah, $460 million to Embracer Group. Not Embracer Group. Divest to Take Two. I'm sorry, I read that. I said it backwards. I read it right. Embracer Group divests Gearbox Entertainment for consideration of $460 million to Take Two Interactive Software. So Take Two will get Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderland franchises, as well as Homeland. Don't forget they have Homeworld. Brothers in Arms, Duke Nukem. Don't forget, folks. Don't forget about Duke Nukem. I don't know what Risk of Rain is. But Homeworld was the... I remember getting
Rain,
like...
Rain, I've been playing that. I play that.
Oh, yeah?
Risk of Rain is... Yeah, it's very much
a... Gearbox franchise.
It's a... shooter style.
Like, yeah, I mean, Risk of Rain 2 I play.
So so now it's... Take Two ownership, Corey. You more excited for this than Embracer?
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably see Psycho in GTA now, I guess.
I did hear that Borderlands 4 is in production now.
Officially. I mean, that's their moneymaker.
That was probably
so.
The only reason Take Two is even interested, to be honest.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Like at least Borderlands, like out of all their properties, and not to slander Gearbox, but like that's the bread and butter. That's the golden goose of Gearbox.
I mean, nothing else that they have done originally.
The Brothers in Arms, weren't they? Oh, they weren't theirs originally, were they?
I mean,
Brothers in Arms. I don't remember, but those were good if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
and Homeworld was not theirs originally. They bought that franchise. So that license.
Duke Nukem
license.
They bought.
Yep.
Wasn't there like a Bulletstorm or fucking some game that they did too?
Well, people could fly to Bulletstorm, I think.
Didn't Embracer buy them for like $1 billion?
It was over a billion. I think it was $1 billion and a half, actually.
So they sold them for $460 million?
Mm-hmm. So they just lost $1 billion because And I like how the audacity is like Embracer Group, because you know the quarter is ending and stuff like that. They're like, "Oh, we don't foresee us purchasing other companies." It's like, "Wow, you think?"
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because every company you bought, you're selling for a fraction of the price. Maybe that's not a good business.
Yeah, and then I guess Embracer retained like Gearbox Publishing, which is going to get rebranded, obviously, because Gearbox had a publishing department.
Okay. I mean, it is unfortunate too, because just to tie into that, Gearbox is going through layoffs now.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that redundancy? It sounded like too.
I'm sure a lot of it's redundancy, but at the same time, too, like you buy a company. Like I've said this before, you buy a company for its intellectual property, right? You don't buy a company for people, unfortunately, and that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Or if you do, you're buying it for a specific person, really, and everyone else is
like, you know, Kevin Lee, or you know, whatever, Ken Levine, or you know, something like
Ken Levine.
You know, thank you. I don't know why. Confuse it with a musician temporarily, but it's unfortunate, but this just goes to show that acquisitions are just fucking, these mega acquisitions are just bad for the industry, right? And it's awful, really, because you know, again, just to think about Microsoft owning, like, you know, Bethesda and now Activision Blizzard King and stuff like that, and heaven forbid if fucking, you know, Sadai just goes, yeah, you know what, this isn't working out, even after the acquisition Blizzard King.
Mm-hmm. Who wants Blizzard? Who wants
Blizzard? Who the fuck is gonna buy Blizzard?
Yeah.
Sony can't.
Not for a fraction of what they cost.
Yeah, exactly. No. So, you know, you're just leading to consolidation in the industry, which is bad for workers' rights. And you know, it's just like, cool, I can't go from one company to this other company. It's the fucking same parent company. So it's a shit. Fuck these people.
Yeah.
It's tough too, because like you can't stay independent either, because then
You can't. There's not you can't. Well, we just talked about how it is very hard to get your game out there now, especially with the subscription services not giving you
extra funding. Yeah, lose lose.
Yeah. So it's not a good market. We talked about that already. It's bad year. Bad year.
Well, in the positive news, at least.
Positive news, we've got a nice big rumor for PlayStation Showcase happening in May. I did just see an update on that. Jeff Grubb is talking about it quite a bit. So it looks like that's going to happen. Silent Hill 2 remake shown. Ghost of Tsushima 2. That's big. Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. That's a big game this year, as long as it makes it this year. Do we think it's going to make it this year?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big game, though, unfortunately.
I'm excited for that game.
I'm excited for it. I just don't think it's a big game.
Yeah, yeah. I get, you're right. Sales-wise, you're right. Spider-Man 2 DLC / expansions. Ben Studio new IP. I'm not sure what Ben Studio did. What did they do?
They did Days Gone, right?
Days Gone. Yeah, and the Uncharted Vita game.
Okay. Do we get Uncharted from them?
They did the Siphon Filter Vita games too, I think.
Ooh, oh, maybe they did. Maybe they would be doing the new Uncharted.
Yeah.
Definitely not Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we knew that, but I thought there was a studio working on an Uncharted game. We talked about it a little bit.
I mean, they've worked with maybe Uncharted
this is
before.
Them. So yeah, maybe this is them. So they're not doing Days Gone 2. So,
no, definitely not. No.
Yeah.
No, I've heard all about that.
So maybe we'll find out in May if we're going to get a new Uncharted game. That's exciting, I think.
But when is Grub saying this is happening?
I didn't get to see. I just saw it come next across month. My updates. Yeah, it'll be next month for him, he was saying. And this was on, Corey, you posted this rumor. This is from, was the same person saying this?
No, I saw a few tweets, and that was the one that had like the list of stuff. So.
Got it.
It's kind of interesting they do it in May, right? When, once again, the June period is typically the, E3 / replacement E3, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if it's like a precursor or something, just like, or get ahead of any June news or something. So it could be end of May, too, you know, who knows?
Could be, it could be end of May. Yeah. End of May.
I mean, that's good. I don't think their state of play or whatever they call it at the beginning of the year did any good things to be like, yeah, you should be happy you bought a PlayStation 5 because it's like, we don't got anything for the year. And the thing is, like, Ghost of Tsushima 2, I would be excited for that, but just based on what they said in their financial investor relation, it's not coming this year. Yeah. So it's like, cool. So why am I going to bother getting hyped for this now, even as a rumor, when it's not coming before next year, right? It's cool. Like,
yeah. All right.
Well, no Wolverine either.
No Wolverine listed.
No Wolverine.
We'll see.
I've already seen enough of that game, I guess.
Something just got leaked of that. I mean,
it's probably Wolverine? More parts of what was originally leaked. There was so much stuff that keeps coming out.
The thing is, the hackers got so much data, they're coming through. I thought we just got something else, but nothing major. I think the last big thing was the Spider-Verse multiplayer thing.
Mm. Yeah, that looks such a cool game. That's something they should look into. Again, they did. That's what they should release. I'm sorry. But
Sony said, fuck you, lay off some people instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Eternal Strands reveal trailer we got. That was today, right? Mm-hmm. Game looks great. It's a, if you don't know what this is going to be a game inspired by, like, definitely Shadow of Colossus. I got massive Shadow of Colossus vibe. Zelda-like, Monster Hunter, kind of a mixed game. I really enjoyed this trailer. I thought this looked really cool. Yeah. And it showed gameplay, so we can see it's all gameplay.
And this is ex-BioWare. Yeah.
This is ex-BioWare people. It looks really cool. That like absolute Shadow Colossus vibe, 100% with this. That just got me excited for this game quite a bit. Coming to PS5, Xbox, and PC, but not till 2025. But if you haven't checked out the trailer, look at that online. Looks exciting. I don't think there's anything. Did I miss any other news, guys? I don't think so. Nope.
Yeah, do one check. Could we just double check any breaking news? I'm flipping
through. Yeah, I didn't see anything. So I think that's going to wrap up this one, folks. Thanks for tuning into the Gamecast this week. We'll see you guys next week. I know this weekend's WrestleMania, so we'll be talking about that in the movie cast probably. So tune in to that stuff. Maybe I'll talk more Cyberpunk finally. We'll see you guys next week. That's it. Once again, tune in YouTube. Subscribe to Twitch and YouTube. See you guys.